Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
I was thinking about what to talk about, and my wife said, do you think maybe students want to hear you talk about something other than Islam? And I was like, I don't know. But when I really think about if there was one thing that I wanted you guys to know, particularly those of you that are going to graduate, if there's one thing that I really would want you to know when you leave this place, is to find friendship. And what I mean by friendship is not necessarily what people understand. I started looking for resources about friendship, and I realized people kind of stopped writing about friendship right around the Enlightenment. The church fathers, they talked about friendship all the time. Augustine, friendship. Chrysostom, friendship. Desert monks, friendship. Why is there not much being written about friendship today? And so I went back and I started reading it, and I realized that as I was reading these sort of challenges for what a friend is and what a friend means, I realized that's really something that we're missing today. And I don't want to say this boastfully. I actually feel like I found friendship in five guys. Two of them are not here, but these three guys. And I'll be honest with you, it's a mess. If you have...
Not what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, that's
fine.
If you think of friendship as being this nice and neat and sort of like we all get along and encourage one another and challenge one another all the time, it's just not reality. But I honestly, when I came to CIU, and just so you guys know, these are both CIU grads. Howard actually came here twice because he didn't get it right the first time. But
that's not true. He's lying in chapel this time.
But when I think about friendship and with these guys, one of the things I realized was why I connected with them was when I was here at CIU, honestly, I was afraid of most of the people here because there's a lot of like super Christians here. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And I thought if people knew who I was, like, they wouldn't want to be my friend. And then I found these guys, who are also very
messed up
individuals.
I'm actually a super Christian, so I don't know. I don't know where he got that from, but
Howard,
because I'm grace-filled,
you're lying,
I accepted his mess. There you go. You're welcome.
So honestly, like, it was kind of funny when Rick was like, you guys will get to participate in a conversation. We're like, that kind of sounds weird. Like, how are they going to participate in a conversation? But we wanted to honestly have like a discussion about what our friendship is and how difficult it has been and why we feel like God has given us something that is not just table companionship, which is the way that one of the church fathers references what people call friendship. They're your table companions. You eat with them, but you don't do life with them. And so, Howard, start with you. What was it that gave you sort of the freedom to have deep relationship, deep friendship, intimacy with this group?
Actually, when I first started with our guys group, it wasn't, you know how like Christians, when they first start a group, they're like, all right, let's hold each other accountable. Let's read the Bible together. Let's get together. Yeah, we didn't do that. We were like, hey, let's go watch UFC together. Yeah. And
go fishing.
Yeah, let's go fishing. You know, we're like, yeah, you know, and that's what really brought us together. So. Yeah. Ladies, good luck. You got to watch UFC fights. But we weren't going into it for that reason. Like, we didn't know what that was. And so it really happened over time for me. Because I've had a lot of friends in my life. But coming out of a ministry before I came to CIU, I kind of had trust issues. Because I thought, I'm the kind of person that everyone's my best friend. If you're around me, you're my best friend. And that's good, you know, because people like to be around me and I like to be around them. But then I didn't have anything deeper. I thought I had something deeper. But then hanging out with these guys, what I began to realize is that I really could trust them. And it took years. It took time to really develop that trust in which I could actually start revealing who I really was, stop pretending to be a super Christian. And I really started to heal from that, you know.
One of the guys that writes on friendship, he says that he sees salvation as a Sabbath rest. And the first part of that Sabbath rest is really being set free from a guilty conscience. And I think sometimes Christians being so afraid to let people know who they are, they actually hold on to that guilty conscience. Like, they're afraid to let people know where they fail, let people know where they're failing continually. They hold on to that guilty conscience, and I think it's a total deception of the enemy when we put our focus on our sin, take our focus off Christ, his victory over sin, put our focus on our sin, and then we isolate ourselves because we're afraid to let people know who we are. And so that first sort of understanding of salvation for this one particular writer, it was a Sabbath rest of being freed from a guilty conscience. Joe and I grew up in very similar homes. Feel free to share home life.
Air my dirty laundry.
Yeah, no, you don't have to air your dirty laundry, but.
You know, we're all very similar. All five of us are just so similar in that we didn't come from, we didn't grow up in, you know, Christian homes, you know, to some degree and differing degrees. We all grew up in a sort of broken home. And, you know, that sort of, you know, my whole life growing up, I always knew that I wanted friends, I wanted close friends, I wanted companions. I always had two or three close friends, but it wasn't until I think meeting these guys 10 years ago that I really realized that I wanted more than that. And, you know, like you guys said, that developed over time. And now I realize that, you know, Christian community, our friendship is, it can best be described as something that as we do life together. I mean, that's what this is all about.
And honestly, like, thinking about doing life together, it's been 10 years. We meet every single week, and we have for 10 years. And there's no excuse why you can't be there except for, I need to spend some time with my wife. Okay. Right?
Yep.
That's the only reason. If you're sick, you're coming, because we need to pray for you. If you're fasting, you need to come, because this is when you're going to undergo spiritual attack. And so it doesn't, there's no like excuse. And that was something that we realized, that was when people talk about like, oh, we want to do this small group and we're going to do this study, there's always somebody that has a reason why they can't be there. And so we were like, dude, we just have to let go of every reason and say, there's no excuse. You have to be there. If you don't feel like it, you still have to be there, because it's not about you.
Yeah, last week I actually tried to skip. I had a speaking engagement. We meet on Thursdays. I tried to skip and they're like, all right, we're moving it to Wednesday. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess we'll do it Wednesday. And we did it. We did it twice because I tried to skip two times, but they're not letting go. It's fine.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
So there's a passage that we were looking at in Ecclesiastes. Howard, you want to read it?
Yes, we're a Bible college, so here we go.
Well, no, we are a Christian university.
Oh, we are a Christian
Dollar
university.
Dollar in the jar.
Right. I didn't.
Biblical university.
I did not get that memo, but here we go. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And you guys have all heard this because you're Bible scholars. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. I like that. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Look at us three.
All right, this is often used for marriages. And this is probably where a lot of ladies in the room are thinking, so, like, how do your wives feel about this?
There's two
of
my wives.
The one's
right
laughing
there.
Right there.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, this group has had more impact on my marriage than anything else in my life. Because while I would have tried to make the case that I loved my wife and she was my best friend, I was lying. And I didn't really understand how to be a friend to my wife until I realized some of the things that we were experiencing as friends. And I started asking myself, like, Lord, why can't I be this vulnerable with my wife? Is that right? Why are these, like, these areas of my life I'm not willing to bring my wife into? And I started seeing it through these guys. And then we all started going, man, I think God wants to do something through this group in our marriages. And so while we look at the three chords thing and often think of it in a sense of marriage, for me, I honestly was putting all this pressure on my wife to think that she was supposed to meet every need that I had as a human being. And that wasn't working, obviously. No one can do that. And then I started realizing that there were areas of my life where these guys were meeting me, and I thought, man, I think God wants to bring my wife into these areas of my life, but I didn't know if it was safe. And I actually found it in my friendships first and started reading the Bible and understanding what David talks about when he talks about his friend Jonathan and having love for him that is even different than that and love for a woman. And God actually healed my marriage through friendship with these guys. So has friendship, I don't know, you guys on your marriages, your wives.
I wanted to say one thing just so that people are clear. Like, one of the rules in our guys group, we don't have a lot of rules, but obviously, but we, one thing that we do not do ever is talk bad about our wives.
That's right.
Yep. Because I know that if I talk bad about my wife, Trevor will like rebuke me.
That's right.
And it's really neat because our wives are kind of like, oh, so they're not trying to pit you against your wife. You know, like it's never like divisive. We're always really encouraging. We always look at each family as a unit and try to keep them together, try to keep them growing.
I think our wives see that too. They see that. Right? They see the benefit of that.
Right. She says yes. So I'm not lying.
It is true though. Like if you come to the group and you're like, man, I'll say like, you know, Katie and I are really struggling with something. The immediate response is what I can do.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Not what your wife should do this and do that. Yeah, we never do that.
Yeah.
And so seeing those opportunities.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Not really.
Joe, were you going to say something? Your wife's right there, so.
I love you.
Look at her in her eyes and tell her.
No, I think it is the question that's best answered by the wives. What do the wives think? I think maybe at first, you know, we're playing cornhole and we're watching UFC fights and we're going fishing and we're doing all that kind of stuff. But it just morphed, you know, kind of over time to be this just awesome group. So maybe at first the wives were a little bit like, oh, it's the boys, they just want to hang out. But over time they got to, as we changed and we became closer friends and we, you know, our lives began to change, they began to see that, you know. And I think that's why it's better answered by them.
Yeah.
You know, they can testify to the growth that we've had individually and as a group and how we've grown as fathers and as husbands.
Yeah, if you're not coming home on Friday morning better than when you left on Thursday, there's something wrong with the group. Like, you should be challenged to be a more loving husband, a better father. But one of the things that I think ruins groups, there was a 12th century monk that talks about, like, the things that will ruin a group. And one of the things was called upbraiding. I had no idea what upbraiding is. Anybody in here know what upbraiding is? Where's Brinzi at? He knows what upbraiding is. I guarantee it. Upbraiding is like a constant picking on someone's faults. Being aware of their faults and making those faults kind of the focus of the relationship. And as I was reading that, I was thinking, that's something that the Lord has really taught us. Like, we actually want to bring out our faults, and the rest of the group kind of looks at you and says, yeah, but where is Christ working? So if somebody's like failing in this really, you know, kind of dismal place where they're just going down and down and they're focusing on their faults, and then you have the rest of the group that comes along and says, yes, but Christ is there too.
Right.
And you join them in that.
You're not seeing the bigger picture. Yeah.
Yeah, you join them in that pain. But I can assure you, upbraiding, like, I agree, that will ruin a group really quick.
Yeah.
I think my tendency, if you know me, like, get to know me, I have a lot of anxiety issues, and also I like have this guilt complex where I'm just really down on myself all the time. And one of the things that happened when I started joining this guys group is that I grew like tremendous in confidence just by knowing these two guys. And Trevor and Joe are like they're like alpha male personalities. Like they just charge life. I'm like really timid. Anything that they want to do, I'm like, I don't know if we should do. But then they make fun of me until I do it, you know? Like rope swings or like
tell the rope swing story. Or like tell the rope swing
no,
story.
That's not a good story for me.
Oh,
so four wheelers.
Stop. It was a great story.
So sometimes, yeah, we get together and we have deep spiritual conversations. And then sometimes you have the freedom to show up and say, listen, guys, I don't want to talk about anything spiritual tonight. I just want to enjoy the evening of swimming or going off a rope swing. Is that cool with everybody? Everybody's like, yep, that's cool. So one night we went and rope swing. It was probably trespassing. I apologize. I don't know. We had kayaks. We were going down the river. It's like, we're just going to enjoy kayaking down the river. We come across this rope swing. Of course, Joe and I are like, rope swing. And so we charge it. Howard just sits there and he kind of watches and we're going off and trying to one-up each other because we still deal with pride and arrogance like we're 8-year-olds. So
I don't.
Howard's just sitting there. Howard, yeah, it was high. So Howard is sitting there.
I'm a man. I'm like, I don't care.
Howard is sitting there. And all of a sudden, like, it feels like we're in fifth grade again. Yeah. Like, Joe and I are like,
come on.
He's like, no, I don't want to do it. We're like, Howard, come on. You got this.
We're grown men. We have children.
Yeah. And sometimes we act like children. Upbraiding. Yeah. So we started upbraiding, pointing out his faults.
And it is, like, super tall. Like it's slippery to climb up, you know? And I'm a fit guy, but, you know, I have extra pounds. So I'm trying to climb up, and this rope is tied to the tree. Yeah, it's tethered to a tree. I don't know why, as you're about to find out.
It's so you can pull the rope back to
you. Okay, yeah, fine. And then I grab, and then I swing. But none of these guys tell me, oh, you have to remove the rope from between your legs. I don't know why.
He grabs onto the rope.
Yes,
that's exactly what happens. Straddles the tether and swings out.
Yeah, thank you for illustrating. Anyway, so I hit the rope and then, you know, flop. And of course, like, this is our guys group in a nutshell. Trevor is like drowning because he's laughing so hard. Joe is immediately, my head has not cracked the surface. And Joe's like right here. He's like, are you okay? And then if I say I'm okay, then he starts cracking up, drowning with Trevor, you know? And yeah. And then I never hear the end of it. And thus we're in a public setting talking about how I did that. Thank you. This is a great experience for me. Thank you, guys. I'm gonna be right here.
We've honestly come to the place where I think we've accepted the fact that we're all created very differently, and we've begun to respect how we're each wired. Yeah. And to be quite frank, in the beginning, I don't think we had a whole lot of respect for one another because we were all very insecure about who we were. And so we're constantly trying to decide, like, one up each other. And one of the things that will kill a group is pride. If you think more highly of yourself than you ought to, nobody's going to want to hang around you. And it will only take a matter of time. And it's not just everybody's pride. It's one person's pride can kill a group. And so if one person's just being very prideful, it's not going to work. And so we realized really quickly that, actually not quickly, this took years. That's the thing. I wish years. I could say that you could just go and reproduce this like in a matter of moments, but it's really not that easy.
There's no formula.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
And I remember leaving many times the guys' night just being like, looking at Trevor and Joe and just being like, man, I really admire those guys. I wish I was more like them. And then there have been times, I think, that they've said the same thing about me, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. You're forgiven. We're good again.
One of the other things that was mentioned was, and this kind of sounds funny, leaking confidences. Sounds like a balloon. Leaking confidences. There is a confidence that we have with one another, and that confidence includes our wives, where if you don't have a space where you can share something with somebody in confidence, your group will be very shallow. Will not go very deep because you'll be afraid that maybe somebody will share something about me that I didn't want them to share. Like swinging off the rope, sorry, apologize. I'll repent later, I shouldn't have.
It's fine.
Leaking confidences. And so it's really tough because you live in the church, in your community, and it can be a really sort of slippery slope where you're like, somebody has shared something with me, what do I do with this? If you have a group, protect that confidence with your group. Don't air somebody's dirty laundry. If somebody shared something with you in confidence and they're your friend and they've created a space and you're vulnerable and they're vulnerable and you guys are together on something, be very, very protective of that space. Otherwise, nobody's ever gonna kind of show you what they're really dealing with. Because like I said, sometimes we believe that everybody's like a super Christian, right?
Right.
You know, they've got like a lineage of Christian heritage, and I'm thinking, man, I don't have any heritage like that.
And I think that's something why, like, I've joined a lot of life groups and small groups and all the church groups all my life, and I never really felt like really connected with them. And I'm sure part of it was my immaturity as well, but what I've noticed about our guys group is that it took years to develop that trust. And then when we were able to develop that trust, then we were actually being able to be real with one another instead of just like, yeah, how are things going? Oh, things are going good, you know. But there have been times in my life where these guys have like taken me aside and said, hey, you know what, I think this is really messed up in your life and you really need to work on it. And it hurt. It was not pleasant. Like, I thought the group was going to fall apart, and We didn't, because we knew how much the group meant for us in our own spiritual group. And because of it, like, I went and I sought counseling, worked on a lot of these issues, and it took years to work on the issues. And even some of my unforgiveness towards my guy friends, because when they called me out, it hurt. It was not a pleasant experience, but I needed that in my life. And because of it, my marriage is infinitely stronger than it was before. My wife was able to be honest with me. Like, it was just this snowball effect. And it wasn't pleasant, but because such trust had been developed over those years, it was not going to destroy us. It wasn't going to break us apart. And just things like that, I think, are a huge blessing for our group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that is also mentioned that will ruin a group is treacherous wounds. Listen, everybody in this room is broken. I think my coming to Christ, I just thought like everything was healed and I was good to go. I didn't realize how broken I really was until I started getting real with people and realizing how some of my brokenness was actually impacting a lot of my relationships. And so I still remember coming to the group and just sharing, and you know, that Katie and I were having a really rough time in our marriage. I was so embarrassed and scared, like, what are they gonna think of me? I mean, we were going to go see a counselor, and sorry to my counselor friends, like, I had so many strong feelings against counselors. I just thought, like, what's wrong with people? Why are they going to counselors? Why can't everybody just be healthy, you know? It's because I was totally oblivious to the fact of how messed up I was. Ability to do that, right? And so when I realized, like, there were some major issues in my marriage, I was ashamed. But I felt like I wanted to tell somebody. And so there are two younger guys that are not with us here. And I actually pulled these guys aside and I said, I need to talk to you guys. Can you show up a little early tonight before the other two do? And I said, I want to share something with you guys. Katie and I are going to go to counseling. And we've got some issues in our marriage we need to work through. They've been there since we got married. I've just buried them. I've denied them. We want to work through some really difficult things. And I'm really ashamed to tell you guys that. And they just love me in that space and said, that's great. That's a good thing. I was terrified. And they said, why didn't you tell the other two? And I said, well, they're not married yet. And I don't want to like discourage them. They said, no, they need to see this. Yeah. They need to see that marriage is difficult, that you struggle. Like, because if we just present ourselves as always successful, then what happens when you struggle? What happens when you fail? You think all of these other people, like, we're super Christians, and then I failed. And so God did a lot through this counseling, and it's amazing. Healed my marriage in ways that I didn't even know it needed to be healed. And the cool thing was there was like a ripple effect within our group, because I would come back and like share, like, God's doing all these amazing things. And they would pray for me, and they would create space to love me and not judge me and not, you know, have these sort of strong feelings about how I had failed. And I healed from that. And that Sabbath rest that he talks about, he says first it's the healing of a guilty conscience, and then it's the healing of the ability to love others. And so, like, I learned a little bit about how to love myself. I learned a little bit about how to love others, and we learned how to love each other. And then from that, I think God is actually using it for his glory. I don't know. Do you guys, just last words as we close, how has our group been used by God to impact others?
Well, I think I'd want to say this. As I thought about this last night, you know, I'd love to have a formula that I could just say, hey, guys, here's what you need to do. So maybe this doesn't answer your question, but unfortunately, there is no formula to this sort of community, this friendship thing that we've built over time. But I will say this, I think that, and we kind of touched on this, it takes vulnerability, you know, from the beginning. You know, sometimes you just need to put yourself out there. You need to find somebody else that's willing to do the same thing. Maybe it's one person, maybe it's, like us, five people. And of course, it started with me and you, and you and Howard, and then we kind of triangulated and that sort of thing. But I think you need to find common ground. You got to be vulnerable too. You've got to find common ground with somebody. You know, the stars don't need to align. We talked about that. We're all different in so many different ways. And then three, I think you've got to have a ever-increasing level of commitment to your group and to this friendship thing and to this community thing. You know, so that doesn't necessarily answer your question, but I just felt like, you know, there's no formula, and they need to know that, and there are some key things that you need to have, mm-hmm. You know.
Howard, you got anything you want to close?
I would just say, know that you need this, and then go after it, because it will happen if you work at it, you recognize that you're intentional about it. I think a lot of you guys are really good friends here in college, but then you guys are going to leave and you don't know what next. But I would say hold on to those people that you've developed that trust with. Connect, keep going. Like Trevor and I have known each other for since 1998, so 18 years.
18 years.
We've been best friends for 18 years. Mm-hmm. And Trevor and I have gone up and down and been friends and not been friends and struggled and fought and, you know. But I'm so tremendously blessed that he's still my best friend. And then Joe, you know, and is my best friend as well.
Chopped liver.
You shouldn't have laughed because now, like, I got to apologize to him for that. But
we've got Thursday night to work it out.
He's got some operating coming.
But like, but know that you need this, and that it'll bless your life. Like, let's not be the church that pretends like we have community or pretends like we have intimacy. Yeah. And we were not good at this. So hopefully, this is a testimony to you guys. Like, oh, okay, you're not going to be like professional people with intimacy. You know. You know. So just go after it.
Yeah, God uses it for his glory in a sense that anytime I share with people about the most important things in my life, and it's true, people will talk about the most important things in their life really quickly, and I tend to talk about my wife, my kids, and my friends. Like, I love this place, I love what I do, but what I do is not what's keeping me in Columbia. It's these friends. They have become family to me. They have provided things that I have lost in my life. You know, father figures, even though they're not like old fathers, it's like you have friendships that are replacing things that you didn't have in real life. So God uses it for his glory in a sense that every time I share it with people, they're like, I want that. How do I get that?
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of times we talk about go and tell in evangelism, and we've lost the community aspect of evangelism, where you show and demonstrate a love for one another, that people want to be a part of that. And so I would just encourage you guys, be real with one another, be careful with how you form your groups, but don't feel like you got to start it off and it's just going to happen. It's a lot of work. It really is. And I think, I really do. I love you guys. If you can't say, like, you love somebody, like, you got to do the bro, I love you, and, like, quick bro hug, like, you got to love somebody.
Yeah.
Like, and I love these guys, and we love each other's wives, and it's great, and we really appreciate what God's done in and through us. So I'd like to pray, but before I do, Hannah Jones with the yearbook is going to come up and present the yearbook, just I'll pray for you guys just briefly as we close, and Hannah will come up and present the yearbook. I'm sorry, I think we went a little bit over, but let me just pray. Father, thank you for how you use the body of Christ, that it is through the body of Christ that you bring healing. It is through the body of Christ that you manifest your glory to the world. It is through the body of Christ, Father, that we have seen, Father, just so much change in our lives. Thank you for these guys. Thank you for what you've done in and through us. And Father, we give all glory and credit to you, because in and of ourselves, we are a mess, and we are keenly aware of that fact. But you have loved us through one another, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.